NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Plenty of college football on the slate today, but for a moment, Pearl, let's pause on the NFL because your Philadelphia Eagles kick off their title defense against the Dallas Cowboys. Talked a lot of Dallas this morning. We're asking you if the Micah Parsons trade is going to cast a shadow over the entire Cowboys season, which you can weigh in at 888-710-4ISN. I say yes, Perloff says no. But meanwhile, the Chiefs are boarding a flight today, and the Chargers, to head down to Brazil. We're doing this again. Friday night, Chiefs, Chargers. I kind of hate that this is a division game. Like, it's this could be very important in the AFC West, and you're playing down in Brazil, which, you know, is obviously just massive travel implications, and it's a tax on your body.
Yeah, but look what happened to the team that played in Brazil last year.
Your Eagles, you can't all say, the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. So you can't say the Brazil trip is an unfair disadvantage because the Eagles went on. I mean, they actually started off kind of slow, I think partly because of the Brazil trip. But
so
you can't
in fact,
say
it
that
was not a good thing. I mean,
it was obviously a good thing because they won the Super Bowl. Maybe you bond on the trip. I don't know. But you can't say it's an excuse for either the Chiefs or the Chargers that we had to play in Brazil. I do hope that they all come out of that game and that field totally healthy, because we saw in the Jordan Love injury, like, that field is choppy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the Packers feel quite the same way that this was a fun trip down to Brazil or that it set them up for anything, because in the final play of the game, basically, Jordan Love got hurt and then missed two games. So, okay, Chiefs, Chargers, down to Brazil. We're doing this whole thing again. Meanwhile, we have one big question about Patrick Mahomes.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third in a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, so we still have the AFC West to get to before the season kicks off. So, EJ, what's our question about Patrick Mahomes today?
Okay, so Patrick Mahomes did lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, but had a down statistical year for him. So I'm asking the question, should Patrick Mahomes still be considered the undisputed top QB in the NFL after last year's subpar statistical season?
I mean, EJ, what you're asking, are we moving Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts ahead of him? Is that the... No, I'm kidding. I know that.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I'm feeling myself for a couple more days.
Oh, yeah,
wow. Are you now?
Yeah, Mahomes is definitely number one. I know the NFL top 100 list came out and Saquon Barkley was one. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL until someone dethrones him. I don't care what his stats are. And I expect those stats have a major uptick this year because it seems like, based on the preseason, the Chiefs fixed their O-line, which is a massive problem last year. And they have so much speed. I don't know how this happened. How did your Buffalo Bills, Maggie, let the Kansas City Chiefs all of a sudden get this wide receiver core that's like a bunch of Ferraris? So Mahomes and the coaching staff have said, we are going to throw the ball down the field. And I'm taking them at their word. I think Mahomes is going to have a much better season.
It's so funny because Andy Reid, who won't give an inch, right, has never said anything meaningful in a press conference ever. All of a sudden, they're being very open about the offense and about how much more explosive it's going to be, even though they've continued to get to the Super Bowl. Listen, I'd be sour grapes if I said that it was anyone but Mahomes who should be the undisputed top of the mountain, because no matter what his stats say, Pearl, he's taken over the Tom Brady mantle of drive for your life. I want Patrick Mahomes and the referees. I'm just kidding. I want Patrick Mahomes. I'm kidding.
No, part of the discussion.
I want Patrick Mahomes on the field more than I even want my own guy on the field, Josh Allen, right? You have to say that he is the one person you would trust currently playing right now, the one person you would trust if your life was literally on the line and you needed a touchdown. He's shown it before. Now, what I thought was very curious, and I don't know if you guys saw this, Joe Montana was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday promoting something, I forgot.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians asked him, who are your top three quarterbacks in the league right now? They said, you can't say Brock Purdy because obviously Joe's connection to San Francisco. And I don't think that Joe is just being a homer on this one, but he did not say Mahomes. And I don't think it's because he beat the 49ers in two Super Bowls. He said it's because of his age, that if he was building a team right now, it'd be Josh Allen. He actually did say Jalen Hurts, and he said Joe Burrow.
And so, did he say Justin Herbert in that list?
And Herbert, yes. And he loves Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, So what are we talking about?
Well, he said because of the age. And now it's funny, though, because Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are actually the same age.
Yeah. No, I listen, is that a little like goat on goat crime? Is that what you're implying, Maggie? Because it sure sounds like it. Honestly,
do you think that Joe Montana, like, there was an article that came out, remember, like two Super Bowls ago, that he has a weird relationship with Tom Brady because Tom overtook him as the GOAT?
Yeah, I think Joe actually forgot and was doing his list. He's like, oh, crap, I forgot Patrick Mahomes. I have to come up with a reason I forgot him. Who's the other guy?
Who forgets Mahomes?
Did he leave Lamar Jackson off?
He left Lamar off, too.
Yeah. So I think...
Well, maybe maybe he doesn't feel like Lamar. I don't know.
No, I think Joe is just having trouble putting the list together in real time. I mean, come on. I think... He probably, if he actually sat down with a pen and paper at night and took a half hour to do this list, I don't take that list seriously. Obviously, it's one thing if you leave off Mahomes, and maybe you can make an argument, but if you leave off Lamar and Mahomes, then you clearly are not a serious list. If you think Justin Herbert is above him, I mean, come on. There is no way.
There is an obsession that quarterbacks have with Justin Herbert. They love this guy. He's like your favorite quarterback's favorite quarterback.
Jim Harbaugh, former quarterback, is like, treats him like he's a god.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Mahomes, tier one, top of tier one until otherwise noted.
Well, but here's the real question, I think, Maggie. Forget the drive for your life. Do you think he's going to have another 45 touchdown season? Like, are we going to see the old Patrick Mahomes just flinging it everywhere? I feel like the Chiefs have wanted to run the ball and play defense the last 2 years. Which Chiefs do we get this year?
Probably depends on injury. I mean, I know Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for the first six games. I don't know how, is it going to change a lot? You think Xavier Worthy is going to take another step forward, right? So they should be a lot more explosive.
We drafted Xavier Worthy.
Taylor's happy about it. I just think that the, for them to completely ignore a running game would be dumb. I mean, why would you make yourself one-dimensional in that way? So, and it's like, you know, weather in Kansas City, like you want to have a ground game. So I don't think they need to go bananas over the top with all of a sudden making Patrick Mahomes' stats look better.
Well, I think it's a seesaw league. It goes back and forth between run and pass. And I think the Chiefs are the trendsetters. Like the last 2 years, they traded Tyreek Hill and they made their offense more conservative. So what does the NFL do? They bring in more run stoppers because the Chiefs are awesome with the run. The Ravens are amazing with the run. The Eagles are amazing with the run. So now you're going to have all these run stoppers. Boom, the Chiefs are going to be ahead of the curve and hit it with a long pass. And now you're going to have to put a bunch of fast DBs on the field. Like, that's the thing. It's always a balance. Run, pass, how do you play them? Do you put a bunch of nickel guys on the field, nickel and dime packages, or do you have big guys up front? So I think the Chiefs want to keep you off balance. I think it's intentional. You mentioned Andy Reid keeps talking about this. I think he's trying to send a message like, hey, whatever you saw last year, we're going to keep on switching it up and keep on innovating. And that, I think, is his greatest strength about Andy Reid.
Yeah, we're asking, should Patrick Mahomes still be considered the undisputed top quarterback in the NFL after a subpar statistical season? He was 10th in EPA per pass last year, 17th in passer rating, and 26th in yards per attempt. Only 6.8 yards per attempt last year for Patrick Mahomes.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
The other part about it, I think what Andy Reid is trying to do, Pearl, like Mahomes had to pull some things out of his you-know-what last year. I mean, they had those one-score games. I know they went 15-2, and so the record was gaudy, but there were some major heroics that had to happen. Maybe they're trying to make it a little more comfortable for him. I don't know.
Yeah, that definitely could be. I mean, listen, it wasn't even Mahomes. I mean, they got a missed field goal in Denver. They let Carolina, of all teams, sneak back. Yeah, here's the question, too, is like, what is Travis Kelce? Like, is he a weapon anymore? Is he just sort of a complimentary piece? We didn't even mention him in this conversation.
I mean, I think you and I disagree about this. I think they need Travis Kelce to be shades of the old Travis Kelce order to win.
Or do they just hold him for the playoffs like they've been doing? It could be. I don't know. They use him as a decoy and a blocker more than, and the funny thing about Travis Kelce, Mr. Star, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll block. I don't even care. He's a really interesting guy like that. I like these receivers. I originally was wrong about Xavier Worthy. Remember, you went into a near panic attack when the Bills traded the pick that ended up being Xavier Worthy?
Not near.
Yeah, it was a full panic attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that instinct was right on, Meg.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Good job.
This was one quote that was given to The Athletic by a defensive coach with an AFC West, who's been in the AFC West. Criticizing Patrick Mahomes is like walking into the Sistine Chapel and saying, I like Michelangelo's drawings, but his sense of color is off. So, there you go. He's the artist, Pearl. The artists and surgeons, Mahomes is the artist.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see the old Mahomes. Remember the game where Mahomes went up against Jared Goff? It was Chiefs-Rams. It was 54-51. Let's bring that football back. And college football is even worse. Like, what happened to spread offenses last week? All of a sudden, they can't do anything either. I need to see some passing this season, Maggie.
You went through this whole diatribe about how the offense does one thing, and then the defense coordinators catch up, and then the offense, and you're wondering why in college we're seeing a game that's 14-7.
What was that garbage last week? I need to see Steve Sarkisian getting to 57 points every week. I want the same thing in the NFL. Let's face it. Run game was the story of last year. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. I mean, it has changed. And the Chiefs, and by the way, you've noticed it's not just Andy Reid. I want you to notice one thing. Matt Nagy is out there a lot speaking. Mm. Feel like they want him to get a head coaching job. Maybe because they want him out of the building. I don't know.
He's going to take over for Andy at some point.
I think so. Well, maybe that's what's happening, because they're really presenting Matt Nagy as the architect of this high-flying plan. And I can tell by your look on your face that makes you dubious, former Bears coach.
I would say, no, that's the Bills fan in me is like, let's get Reed out right now.
Bring in Nagy.
Then maybe my team actually has a chance, because Sean McDermott cannot beat his mentor Andy Reid in the playoffs. It just will never happen as long as I'm alive. I'm convinced. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Still the undisputed number one. We're also talking Cowboys with you, asking if the Micah Parsons trade is going to be a shadow over the entire season. Andreas is in Chicago. Andreas, what do you think, pal?
I think Cowboys and the Packers deal, the trade's done. Why are we still talking about it? I know it's America's team. Both sides got personal. I'm glad he's not with us anymore. He's a great player. He wanted to take a hometown discount. He mentioned that in the past. I believe there was a deal with the Cowboys in place. It was more than what the Packers were going to pay him. And this just frees up our team to play other players on our team. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Andreas, good luck with that strategy. Appreciate you calling in. But, I think there's a reason why some guys are role players and some guys are stars and some get paid like that, because they do have this talent that everybody recognizes, including one of your biggest rivals, the Packers. So I don't know. I think this is just going to be something that follows the Cowboys all season long, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. It could definitely be the storyline, but the Cowboys have a unique ability to generate storylines. I just think their number two receiver is going to be worth keeping an eye on.
Well, not in a good way, though. George Pickens has not had positive headlines in the past.
I think it's going to be a good and a bad. I think on the field, I expect him to be very good on the field, which would be a huge story. And then I expect him to, I'm not sure what the word is, but he's got this contract coming up. So I expect him to play well and then start to make noise about his contract. So it's going to be excellent on-field production and drama.
Can I say one other thing about this Cowboys situation? Because this is what I'm picking up from our callers in Dallas and all over the country who are Cowboy fans. I think that we got to understand where the fatigue actually was. Was the fatigue actually with Micah Parsons and the back and forth with him? Or is it just because you did this last year with Lamb, and then you did it the year before with Dak, and you did it 2 years before that with Dak? It's like the buildup. If you had not had all this contract nonsense for years leading up to it, maybe you wouldn't feel as like Andreas was just saying, like, get him out. Like, everyone just seems sick and tired of it. But I just want to remind people, like, part of the reason why you keep going through these contract things is because of Jerry.
He drags his
feet on stuff. So, like, is it just, how sometimes it's not even so much about Micah. It's just like you're fatigued from years of off-season turmoil.
I mean, has it really been that much? You say that, but how many guys are we talking about? We're talking about Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Ezekiel Elliott. That's a lot now. But, I mean, the reality
Zach Martin, weirdly, yeah, but in a holdout. It's year after year. We say this about the 49ers, too.
Yeah,
but
a lot of solid franchises have these issues. I mean, Pittsburgh's as stable a franchise as there is, and they had a disaster. I mean, T.J. Watt posted goodbye on Instagram. And then now Cam Hayward, their most veteran player, is apparently furious about his contract situation.
They said he might not play against the Jets on Sunday.
And the Kansas City Chiefs had Chris Jones sitting in the stands for week one 2 years ago. So I don't know that you say just because you have contract disputes means you're not a good franchise, because a lot of good franchises have good players who are unhappy about their contracts.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't mean you're a good franchise. I'm saying the fans being fatigued about Micah Parsons, are you actually just, is this buildup from the past two contracts? Because even Jerry said that the chance for pay CD were louder than the chance to pay Micah. Like, the fans have been doing this.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you get in a fight with your spouse, it's like sometimes it's not, the last thing that happens is just the buildup from other disagreements you've had, and then there's, you know, something that just like sets the fuse off, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
And that could be like, you didn't take out the garbage. Is this really a fight about the garbage, or is this a fight about the three things that happen leading up to it?
So I, watching the documentary on the Cowboys, I came away with this take. It wasn't just firing Jimmy Johnson that cost them Super Bowls. It was the institution of the NFL salary cap in 1994. Not a coincidence that that's when Jerry Jones's team building fell, got into trouble. He couldn't, he was overpaying.
He couldn't be the New York Yankees anymore.
And just he was overpaying. He got in Haley, and Dion was a huge part of the documentary. Yeah, I think that, and then at the scene that killed me, him and Steven are sitting in their office bragging about paying $375 million for CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. I'm like, that's what people make fun of you for. Why are you guys bragging about that right now?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Will this Micah Parsons deal be a shadow cast over the Cowboys all season long?
Maggie, football season is back on Prize Picks. I was watching ESPN last night, and I saw an ad with Marshawn Lynch and Adam Devine, who is one of my favorite actors of all time, for Prize Picks. I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this because we're talking about Prize Picks, it was laugh out loud funny. For some reason, Adam Devine had this nail gun that he was shooting up in the air. That's the kind of excitement we're talking about. Because, you know, Prize Picks is awesome. You can get paid for being right. Millions of users, billions of dollars awarded in winnings. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. Simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projections. If you're right, you could win big.
Yeah, sometimes some of these other apps, I feel like it's getting too confusing, complicated, with all these bells and whistles that you just don't need. What I love about Prize Picks, Pearl, is that it's fan-friendly. The app, it's just right there. No confusion. Don't have to be on the app for hours and hours and hours. It's right there for you. And it's fun. It's fast. It's safe. It's secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right, as you said. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. MANDP and get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. You get $50 in bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. Win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Talking, Andrew Bogus is here. Apparently, he still drinks Jack Daniels on the daily, which I gave up in high school.
Your Cheerios.
Hey, what's the issue there?
What we're talking about, is there that type of alcohol in your life that either takes you back to a bad time? Like, everyone's probably had this, where you overdo it with something, and then you're like, I can never drink that ever again. Yeah. I know exactly what mine is, and I just feel like I took a time machine to freshman year of college. No, 99 bananas.
I actually don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you didn't even know that was a thing I was on the floor.
Is it like,
just kidding,
what is it? A rum, a liqueur? What is it?
That's a great question.
I can see the bottle, but I don't know what it is.
I know Bacardi 99. Is that what it is?
That's rum.
Yeah, like 99 means it's huge proof.
99 bananas is a schnapps liqueur. You can still get it, Maggie, if you're thirsty.
I just bring it up into a bag.
For most people, it's tequila, right? Like, that's the one drink.
That's the one that I smell nowadays, and I immediately start to gag, which stinks because I'm Mexican.
Yeah. That is tough.
Yeah,
because we all grew up drinking the cheapest tequila known to man. Now they make, like, high-end tequilas. Yeah. Probably...
You know what I think a lot of people have also? I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut
you off. Yeah, no, go ahead.
It's like we're talking about the alcohol that you had one time, you overdid it, and you can never drink it again. I've heard this a lot, where people wake up after a night of drinking think that the glass next to them is water and it's actually vodka or something, and then you can never drink vodka again.
Yeah, we would drink in high school Jack Daniels and Southern Comfort, and it was so
separately,
nasty.
Right?
Yeah, separately. But we had no idea.
Jungle juice.
Like, why would you drink those dark liquors with all that sugar in it? Nasty.
Well, you just don't know any better. That's why.
And apparently, Bogues.
Although, or if you're Andrew Bogus, you're in your 40s. You're still.
Shh. Let me be.
No judgment for me. Enjoy responsibly.
You're gonna drink all that, by the way?
When you go to a bar, is that your order? A Jack and Coke?
Yeah, more times than, I mean, not that I go to bars. Like, the things we go to now are like breweries, so I'm having beers at that. But like,
actual bar drink?
Yeah.
Big beer guy.
When you order a Jack and Coke, does the bartender say we also serve men's drinks, or is that not a thing?
Oh.
Wow.
So, Jack and Coke.
That's
man up, dude.
Coming from the guy who doesn't drink.
Jack and Ginger is the.
Hey, listen. Don't disparage my little Jack and Ginger.
And I'm a big, you know, girly drinker. Like,
big daiquiri guy.
Yeah, something frozen, you throw an umbrella in there, I'm drinking it. Mm.
This is terrible, and I don't drink. I stopped drinking a long time ago. But I think there's certain drinks manly men should not order.
Like what?
Jack and Coke is not on that list.
Jack and Coke.
I don't accept that.
Dark and Stormy and pretending
drink?
It's not a ginger ale and calling it a Dark and Stormy, which is just ginger ale and rum.
Yeah.
Malibu and Coke is obviously
Oh, come on.
Yeah. But what's the difference between Malibu and Coke and Jack and Coke?
Significance.
Okay.
Jack Daniels would kill Malibu.
This is going to hurt you. Margaritas. I don't think you're a man and you saunter up to the bar and say, I'll have a margarita.
I'm going to call HR and think there was an HR violation just now.
Why?
What if you're on vacation with a margarita? Yeah,
right.
I just think it's kind of a girly drink. I don't know.
What tequila makes you think it's a girly drink?
It's a margarita. I don't know.
Because that's what Manny calls me?
Because my wife is like, calls her friends and they're like, hey, let's all get together and have margs. You know, it's marg night. Yeah,
you shouldn't call it a marg, probably, if you're 35 year old me.
Can I actually just make one thing about margaritas?
Go ahead, margs.
You can't have the mix.
What do you mean?
Like the margarita mix, it's so disgusting. Just get the triple sec and the lime. It's like, it's not that big of a deal.
I just think sweet drink. My dad drank whiskey sours.
Delicious.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of soft.
Yeah, that one's fair. I'll accept that one.
Did he put a cherry in it?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, what happened to a Manhattan or an Old Fashioned or a Martini?
Old Fashioned is delicious.
All right, Don Draper.
A Martini?
Yeah.
Martini's also, that's also a little girly drink. Hey, girl.
No,
go
James
out
Bond
and get some
got martinis.
No, getting
got apple martinis.
Out and getting some teenies nowadays is a thing.
Yeah, if you get it.
They call them
but martinis are loaded with booze. Like, that's the one that'll sneak up on you.
It's just a cup of vodka.
Yeah.
Cup of gin, whatever you're in the mood for.
Okay, so, all right, maybe I'll be a hypocrite. I don't know. What is a man drinks beer?
A vodka martini.
Moonshine?
A moonshine.
Bacardi 151. Is that the one that they let on fire at the bar?
Just give me grain alcohol, ethyl alcohol.
Might as well just drink diesel fuel.
Wait, what was what's your go-to drink, Maggie? I don't even know.
I mean, I'm a woman now in my...
Oh. Just stop there. I'm a woman now.
I'm a mom now, guys. So,
white wine?
90% of my body is some grape.
Zinfandel.
My wife is like, we get to sit down at dinner. She's like, tell me about your nicest Sauvignon Blanc. And then she's like, just give me the rosé.
Give me the Francia.
Just give me the rosé. Wait, I want to get to this caller because I have a lot of questions for Mike.
Okay, Mike's in Abilene, Texas. We've been asking if the Micah Parsons deal is going to cast a shadow over the Cowboys season. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Thank you all for taking my call, Maggie. I think as a lifelong Cowboys fan, I'm kind of confused about two things. Not really confused, just in shock. The absolute gall, which we shouldn't be shocked by this, of Jerry Jones to sit in front of the camera and tell the world we got what we wanted. I don't know if that's crazier or listening to our fans call, like the guy that called last, and, well, you know, now we get a chance for our other players to play. Our other players suck. So I don't know if you've been watching us lately, homie. We suck. And that was a good player we just let go. And this is not about money. It's about some dude in power with nobody to check him, and the only person that's suffering
is us. Micah Parsons isn't suffering, apart from me, you know, wanting to be a Cowboy. Homie got paid. You always talk about how much money you got, Jerry. Pay the guy. Now we're the pariah of the NFL. No free agents worth anything will come. Nobody wants to get traded here. We just got the death penalty, and I am all for it. I'm not going to switch teams like these little youngins do with, you know, we got the Warriors bandwagon fans, the Panthers bandwagon fans. Like, I don't do that. I'm 40 years old. We don't turn tail and run. We sit here and stew in our misery like real loyal fans should. But this is just a whole new level of just disrespect to the fan base and just like, no, we didn't get what you wanted. We didn't get what we wanted. We didn't get anything. You gave him away for nothing and then smiled in the camera because you wanted to prove a point to him that that's what he's worth to you. Okay, well, here we go.
Mike, those are amazing points. Yeah. I'm so glad. But I actually want to talk to you about Abilene. You know, I spent a week at Abilene with my buddy Case Keenum.
Wait, Mike, Abilene's an awesome
place. What a fun place to live. Do you enjoy it?
I do love it, and my wife graduated high school with Case Keenum.
I figured. Wiley, right?
Yeah, Abilene Wiley, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's a good place to live, man. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that you spent some time here and got to see the 325.
And the other thing was, when Case was there, Colt McCoy was about a half hour down the road. This is football capital of planet Earth,
yes,
Mike.
Sir.
Perloff, don't get distracted. Mike just had an all-time call. That was amazing. Mike, thank you. That was awesome. I loved every part of it. And I also, there was something about Mike's call that just hit on so many different levels. The idea of, you know, being depressed about your one of your best players getting traded away for nothing, and also the resignation of like, but I'm a fan, and I just have to sit here and stew in it. How relatable is that?
I don't know if you've been watching us lately, homie. We suck.
Well said.
Now, this is where I'm homie, hoping that I'm right for guys like Mike and others. I hope that Jerry sells the team.
Homie.
Because he's right about the unchecked power. It is, you know, Jerry says the Micah Parsons trade was unanimous. Shocker. When you're the owner and the GM, have in the room who's going to say no? It's crazy over there.
So wait, you want them to sell the team kind of like what's go to more like a new age owner, kind of like an analytic guy or something, like less of a old school dude?
How about somebody who just keeps the wallet open and the mouth shut? That would be nice, and I'm sure that the Cowboy fans would probably appreciate that.
You know, Jerry did build that practice facility.
Whoop-de-doo. To Mike's point, awesome. You haven't even gotten back to the NFC Championship game, and all the players say that they feel like they're in a zoo. So
I don't know.
The tour's coming through while they're trying to bench press.
We suck.
I got to tell you, I would be so disappointed if Jerry sold the Cowboys. Like, they would immediately become less interesting.
Be winners. Like, if you're a fan of the team, don't put you.
But it'd take a while.
Fan of the Cowboys.
I think it'd take a while to unwind all the work that Jerry's done. It might not be immediate.
Look at the Commanders. I mean, that's what you hope. And Dan Snyder was distasteful, and he was one of Jerry's closest allies. And they sold the team, got new blood in there, and they went to the NFC Championship game.
The Commanders.
Like, what's more entertaining, the Cowboys being a mess or the Cowboys being a dynasty?
Homie.
Ooh, I think you need both to work hand in hand.
Me personally, I like them being a circus.
I also want to ask Mike, by the way, I made an argument that like at least they have high school football, and you cannot argue in Abilene, Texas.
I've never been there.
Oh, my. It's Friday Night Lights. It's basically Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Is this West Texas, Abilene?
This is,
forgive me?
I don't know if it's called West Texas. It's where the oil is. And it's, man, you, it's like it's really like the Billy Bob Thornton show, Landman, sure. Man, you watch that show?
Oh, yeah. Big
yeah,
on
the
Billy
daughter.
Bob.
I assume you're a fan.
I love Billy Bob's new commercials for that phone company.
You're basically watching Abilene, Texas. Oh, so, okay. And high school football is massive.
It's a suburb of Dallas and Fort Worth.
No, exactly.
It's not that far. No, it's not that.
But I feel like
it's kind of far.
I know, but I think the thing about it looks like it's actually halfway between, this is Google Maps, between Dallas and Odessa. Odessa is actually where Friday Night Lights took place.
Yeah, it's right. But they play Midland and Odessa and all those areas.
Yeah,
it's very much.
The thing is about Texas, people there, I know one of my best friends is from Dallas. People are just so used to driving. Like, driving long distances is just not a thing. It's like, oh, it's 3 hours away. That's just like a jaunt.
Abilene is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, nowhere. And it used to be, you know, these are oil towns. This is where, like, that legend of Texas football came up. And it's crazy how many quarterbacks are from right around there. Anyway, Mike, but obviously they love those Cowboys down there. You are right. Like, the Cowboys, I was kind of saying, well, at least you got University of Texas and you got high school football. And look what happened there. I jinxed them.
Yeah, thanks. And then all of a sudden, Texas goes to Ohio State and loses 14-7, and the Sarkisian in the red zone is a total disaster again.
Baylor loses, who is a big scorer in that area, and then A&M is a little bit of trouble this weekend.
We suck.
Yeah. Could be. SMU's good. Does that count for something?
Let's get to Bogus. She's got the latest headlines for us. What's up, Bogus?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
I'm a woman now.
A pitcher maybe hitting his catcher on purpose with a pitch was not the only baseball drama last night.
Devers swings and drives it high and deep, right field, on its way. It is gone! Towering blast off the bat of Rafi Devers. And now words being exchanged between Devers and Freeland, and the benches have emptied.
That's Giants radio. So we've got Rafi Devers clubbing a two-run homer, top of the first in Colorado. He is barely around first base when Rockies lefty Kyle Freeland starts chirping him. The benches do empty. There was some pushing and shoving. Thankfully, no catcher went berserk. But Freeland
or reliever.
But Freeland was tossed along with Giants infielders Matt Chapman and Willie Adames.
I was still, you know, yelling at Devers at that point. When Chapman and Adames got there, and then, you know, everything broke loose, and from then on, it was kind of a blackout situation.
Oh, good, a blackout situation.
Lovely.
That's not a guy I want to fight.
Yeah, Giants starter Logan Webb behaved himself for five innings, allowing two runs on seven hits, and then took a shot at Freeland post-game.
Surprised it hasn't happened before with that guy, so just kind of runs his mouth a lot of times, and Rafi got him good.
Rafi got him good. When everyone calmed down, the Giants won the game 7-4 for the Rockies. That is loss number 100.
Nice.
So part of the argument this morning is when you're that bad individually and as a team, maybe Rafi Devers gets to celebrate home runs however he wants.
There were also four people there in the stands. Like, this was all, if this hadn't happened, did you guys see there was like nobody at this game?
Of course, yeah.
This is a shame.
I get
a beautiful stadium and beautiful.
I'm not blaming the fans. Believe me, I'm not blaming the fans. The team's 39-100.
And run terribly from, like, for years and years and years now.
Yeah.
How come their owners don't get more flack?
Do you know what their name is?
I do not.
Yeah, that's why.
It's not the Crunkies. They own everything else, right?
Denver's got a little Philly vibe. They're like, well, Bo Nix looks good. We can live with this.
Broncos are going to be fun this year.
Did anyone predict coming into the season that Rafael Devers would be one of the players we talk about more than anybody? Like, this dude is kind of finding the spotlight.
Yeah, it is bizarre. It is weird. But, I mean, he wanted this? I mean, he definitely wanted out of Boston, right?
Is he a hothead? This
seems to be the first year where we've dealt with him being anything except a Yankee killer.
Well, he's the victim here, no?
Yeah. Freeland was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do this.
Go get the ball, Kyle, and maybe don't give up a 95-mile-per-hour cookie right down the middle.
By the way, I just looked at early poll results on which player would you least want to get a fight with on a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
95% catcher, 5% pitcher.
I think a lot of people are believing, like you, does the catcher still get to wear all of his equipment?
No, I think pitchers are skinny nerds like me until recently. Like, catchers, of course catchers are tougher.
You think Bob Gibson was a skinny nerd?
For every Bob Gibson, there was, like, a lot of pitchers looked, back in the day, looked like insurance salesmen. I'll show you some baseball cards.
I was going to say, Nolan Ryan may have looked like he wanted to sell insurance, and then he'd punch you in the face.
You're picking Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan. You realize there's thousands and thousands of other pitchers who really couldn't beat up me?
No, but they're like scrubs that I wouldn't want to fight.
Well, explain the poll result.
Joe Kelly is insane. I wouldn't want to fight that guy.
That guy's so dumb.
Aaron Judge put him in a headlock, too. That was a good time.
Catchers are short, stocky, and tough. That's the last guy you want to fight.
You know who I wouldn't want to fight? 2003 Roger Clemens. That's some guy.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Can you maybe not name a top five pitcher of all time? Like,
You know, who no, I would well, fight? These, but these guys are hotheads. These guys, well, given maybe also Roger maybe was aided in being a hothead, but I mean, that's another dude you don't want to fight. Regardless if he's a top five pitcher in all of baseball whenever he played, still not a dude you want to fight.
I guess the 5% poll is you guys.
Are you it's taking crazy. Will Smith of the Dodgers into a fight against a pitcher?
I'm more of a hitter who happens to be casual.
Okay.
Yeah, he's probably pretty tough. Will Smith, by the way, Will Smith. What's wrong with Will Smith?
Nothing. I just you always come at these like as a zero sum thing that catchers are just tougher.
95 and all we're doing to five. Is giving you the poll speaks, Bogues.
Yes, science.
Science.
And binding.
Of course.
Polls are binding.
You this isn't a real by
the
way,
I know you guys are just countering me, but you guys don't really believe that the average pitcher could beat up the average catcher. Right?
No, we're just defending pitchers that they do have some tough guys in their general population.
Amir right. Garrett charged
yes,
at the,
that's
at
a
the
good one.
Pirates bench just because he got taken out of a ballgame or whatever. That's another crazy dude. Aroldis Chapman, I wouldn't want to get into a fight with him. He's like 6'5", 200 and some pounds.
And he'll shoot a gun at you.
That is also maybe a part of my case.
Why we're getting into this, because Framber Valdez threw a fastball at his own catcher.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Sure. To send a message about how they were miscommunicating.
You know why I also wouldn't want to fight pitchers is because they step on the mound knowing that a fight could happen at any moment. Like, and they really don't have a choice in the matter. Like, right. They throw a pitch that isn't meant to hit somebody or even be close, and a hitter having a bad day could just decide, I'm going after it, and they have to be ready. Like a catcher.
Yeah, they usually run and look like a little kid. Who's oh, like, don't hit
so. I don't think so. I think most pitchers now are just like, yeah, come on, bro. Let's go. And then it's usually, you know, guys break it up before anything happens. But these pitchers now are built different.
Pitchers are crazy.
I mean, Ryan Helsley, he can't get anybody out. But, I mean, you see his shoulders on that guy?
Can we get him beat up, actually?
Would
that,
traps.
Would that help, maybe?
Can't hit the ocean, but wouldn't want to fight
he'd
him.
Swing and miss.
All right, folks, thank you very much. Coming up, speaking of morons,
yeah,
some sound that you've got to hear from Johnny Manziel. Maybe moron is a little too much of a stretch there, but Johnny Manziel getting real honest about what was going on back in those Cleveland days, and it is not good. We've got the details next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It is Wednesday, so top of the hour, we will do the great debate. Today, something inspired by the week's news.
Yeah.
A little teaser for you. We stumbled upon a funny topic, though.
No.
Who's tougher? Who would you least want to get into a fight with, a pitcher or a catcher? Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so strongly about this for so many reasons that the catchers are the toughest guys on the team. Not just pitcher, outfielder, infielder. They have to crouch for 9 innings. Like, that takes incredible mental toughness. Also, if it's a fight, low man wins. I mean, these guys are squat. Like, they'll come at you. They're like Joe
sumo.
Frazier.
Yeah.
The pitchers are, a lot of them are built like power forwards. Like, they're coming with their long arms and swinging wildly. They just get underneath you and bang.
Yeah, I guess why I see this as the pitcher is because, yes, I'm not going to say that catchers are not tough. They're extremely tough.
Yeah, they're insane.
But, like, when I think of a fight, I don't want to fight the crazy person.
Yeah, pitchers are not crazier. I'll give you that.
Crazier. No, like, I don't know what they're going to bring.
No, I picture, and I'm going to go to our friend Pete Pilotti's favorite manager, Bruce Bochy. Like, that's like old man strength. Like, those guys are just born tough. Like, out on the frontier, like, I picture that most of them as former farmers growing up. Like, those guys are just, you know, they won't say anything. They'll just get in a bar fight, drink beer and whiskey, and beat you up. That's my image of a catcher.
It's like,
I go in a urinal, I go in the stall, wherever.
Yeah.
The Wild West. Let's go to JT, who's in Atlanta. JT, you'd least want to be in a fight with a catcher or a pitcher?
With definitely a catcher. I mean, this is, I think Perloff is doing it all about physique. He says, because they squat, so like a yoga instructor, they're tough.
No, they're used to being just uncomfortable.
Because they're bendable.
No, they're just used to being, like, they're tough. They can endure pain. Like, it's painful to squat like that for 9 innings. And they're just so tough.
But you got
to
think about it. Think about it, Perla. Like, the pitchers are the most intense player on the whole diamond, right? They're the ones that you can't talk to them at certain points of the game, right?
Right.
You have to just leave them alone. They're the ones that start it all. You know what I mean? They're the ones that start all the fights. Just that one clip that we just heard. It was the pitcher that was, you know, starting the fight.
Hideo
Nomo trying to do a roundhouse kick on somebody. I mean, Bruce Lee was skinny. Bruce Lee was small. Just because you're small or slender built doesn't mean that you're not about that business. And it's clearly the pitchers are the wildest, most insane person intense on that whole diamond. They, before the game, you don't talk to them. They're like getting worked up in their own little corner, like a wild mongoose. And then you just let them go on the field. Like the pitchers are the worst. You don't want none of that smoke.
I think the history of baseball more, and recently the pitchers have gotten massive. I'll give you that. But generally, the pitcher, they're dangerous because they have the ball in their hand and they're throwing it 95 miles an hour at the guy. But once the ball is out of their hand, they're a lot less dangerous. And typically, you beam the guy and then the pitcher sort of pretending and trying to get out of the way because that massive outfielder is coming at them and going to kill them. Like, I generally feel like pitchers, in the way fights have gone, maybe now it's a little different because they're so gigantic. But generally, they run away from the batters. I mean, come on. I mean,
I would say 90% of the fights in baseball with pitchers are involved, they're the ones that start it.
Yeah.
They want
by
that
beating the guy. And then that's not how
they're
it
like,
works.
They're
the
like, bring it on.
We got to get a baseball game. I'm calling Verducci.
JT, thank you for the – oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Thank you for the phone call, JT. No, I think that the pitchers understand that you being somebody – you are getting the smoke. Maybe your catcher helps you and tries to hold him back a little bit and stuff like that, but you got to want it. And I think JT's got a good point. The pitcher is the only guy on the team you literally cannot speak to at certain times.
Yeah, that's all true.
They're so crazy.
They're totally crazy, but a lot of them are, before this year, were tiny. I mean, you think of the best pitcher. You guys brought up Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, or you didn't even say Randy Johnson.
I did.
For every one of them, there's a Greg Maddux and a Pedro Martinez and like the greatest pitchers. Pedro Martinez weighs 148 pounds.
What happened when Don Zimmer came to him?
That guy's also
psycho. He gave him all the smoke.
That guy's also crazy.
But do you think he could have taken Jason Varitek?
Yes.
Catchers don't even need masks. You could punch them and they're like hockey goalies. They're insane. Like they are so tough. They get hit all the time with the baseball.
Pedro has small man strength. It's a sneaky strength.
I've met Pedro. Pedro could not take even a backup catcher. Like, there's no way that dude's winning a fight.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I think you're disqualifying the
Pedro.
Want to, ooh. You know? Like,
I mean, the poll is 95-5.
I'm
guys.
Surprised by that. I'm surprised.
Really? I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm totally mystified by this.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, I do want to get to Johnny Manziel, but we just don't have enough time here because he's got so much good sound. But we will get to that later on in the show, I promise. Let's put up a poll, EJ, about this Micah Parsons thing, too. Will the trade cast a shadow that lasts throughout the Cowboys season? I mean, where I feel like I think I'm right here is because I felt like the Luka trade really cast a shadow over the Cowboys season. Now, there was a shock.
You mean the Mavericks season.
The Mavericks season.
Yeah.
Now, there's a shock to the Luka trade that didn't necessarily exist with Micah because there had been this long, prolonged holdout or hold-in or whatever. So we were stunned, but, you know, it's not like there weren't some breadcrumbs. Luka, there were no breadcrumbs.
Well, the thing is, though, with the Luka trade, the Lakers didn't do anything with Luka. So what if that happens, where if Green Bay disappoints? And I'll tell you how Green Bay disappoints. What if Jordan Love gets hurt? Then all of this trade was for nothing.
Well, you can't anticipate that. Well, it's not like he's injury prone.
It's not
the soft tissue injuries. He hurt his knee on a bad field in Brazil.
He had surgery 2 weeks ago on his hand.
Well, but that was a ligament on the non-throwing hand. That doesn't make you injury-prone.
I don't know. I'm getting nervous. He's my fantasy football quarterback. Listen, I love Jordan Love, but it does feel like that guy is not huge and he stays in the pocket a long time. Yeah, I mean, it all depends. I don't think you can answer that question until you know what the Green Bay Packers do. Because I think the Luka trade actually ended up working out okay for the Mavs because the Lakers got killed by the T-Wolves in the first round. That was the most important part of the trade for Minnesota. For Dallas.
No, the only thing that saved the Mavericks was the NBA rigging the lottery to give them Cooper Flagg, which the NFL cannot do because they don't have a lottery system.
Yeah, great point. But also, if the Lakers had won the title, then that trade would have looked even worse. So this is, if you're a Cowboy fan and you are loyal to the team, you're rooting against the Packers all year long.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I got news for you. Cowboy fans are already ready rooting against the Packers. They didn't need this, you know? Obviously, you want it now for the draft picks. You want them to crash and burn so that the draft picks that you got in the Micah trade are as high as possible. But this is a rivalry already. You're already not, you know, rooting for this team.
I don't know. I mean, listen, the Cowboys, you say like the Cowboys come in season wondering about the Packers. I kind of doubt that. The Packers have a rival. It's the Bears.
No, the Packers live rent-free in the Cowboys' heads. Jerry admitted it.
I don't know. I have trouble believing that because they got to play all those NFC East teams. Like, they better still own the Giants. They have way bigger problems than the Bears. The Packers.
See you guys on the phones. You want to weigh in on who's tougher and who would you least want to fight, a pitcher or a catcher? Didn't see the conversation going that way this morning, but we're here for it. We don't dodge the smoke here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Also, we will get to that Johnny Manziel sound, and our great debate comes at you next.